From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
In the name of a gracious God, a risen Savior, and an empowering Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Like the disciples who met the risen Christ. When we have questions and doubts,
our Lord comes saying, "Peace be with you."
Touch me and see who I am, says Jesus.
He shares his transforming power and love with us.
He calls us to be witnesses to his redeeming love. Join in the prayer of the day for the third Sunday of Easter. O God, by your risen Son, you have lifted up this fallen world and brought to us a message of peace be with you. May we share in these joys that are eternal and become your faithful witnesses of these things. Amen.
Our children's time this morning is led by Joanne Cantrell.
How many have been camping before? Been camping with mom and dad? You're a little bit too little, kind of, yeah. Been a little bit too little, maybe camped out in the backyard. I liked to do that when I was little. We lived out in the country, yeah. We lived in the country, and you could lay out there and see all the stars up there. But you know what we used to love to do is tell ghost stories. Yeah, you shine the flashlight up under your face. And tell a big old scary ghost story. Did you ever do that? Did any of you ever do that? Tell ghost stories to scare them? You did? Oh, good. You got a good one? I like your picture. That's very nice. Your treasure map? Yeah, it's a good treasure map because it helps us find Jesus, doesn't it? Well, you know what? Today's story talks about people who think they've seen a ghost. Did you... Is that right? Okay. Did you ever see a ghost? You saw a ghost in your dreams. Well, that's a good place to have a ghost. You dreamed about a ghost too? Well, my favorite show on TV used to be Casper the Friendly Ghost. But that's a TV show. But this morning, two men were walking along a road, a dirt road. And all of a sudden, another man joined them. Where'd he come from? You think he was a ghost? Well, they thought so. And they wonder, So he starts telling them all about the fact that he was nailed to a cross and that he's Jesus. So we've kind of been studying that since Easter, haven't we? That he rose up out of the grave and that he kind of showed up to the disciples in the closed room. Remember that? And he showed them the nail holes in his hands. Well, these two men hurry back to Jerusalem. And they find several of Jesus' disciples. Do you remember what the disciples were? Who were the disciples? His friends, yes. They were Jesus' friends, weren't they? Because he picked every one of them, didn't he? James and John and Andrew and Peter. He picked them all, didn't he? Well, they hurried back, these two men did, and they said, "We've seen Jesus." And they're going, nah. And all of a sudden, guess what?
They saw Jesus.
Yes, he walked right up to them. And they got scared. Because they thought they saw a ghost. Now, that's not good, is it, Amelia? No. You don't believe in ghosts? Okay, I don't either. But anyway, zombies are real? Okay. Yeah, they're on TV a lot, aren't they? Yes, they are. But these people, and they're disciples, they should know better. And Jesus says, look here. Here's the nail prints in my hands. There's the nail prints in my feet. Oh, my goodness. How come you don't believe in me? And they got up and they started walking along. And Jesus is telling them all this time, hey, you've got to believe in me and go out and tell everybody else that I'm real and that you should believe in me because I am from my Father. And I'm here to tell you how to get to heaven because I died on Easter Sunday for you to save your sins. So, good thing that we believe in Jesus, isn't it? He's not a ghost to us, is he? So let's bow our heads and fold our hands and let's say a prayer. Dear God and dear Jesus, we thank you for the message you give us to love one another and tell all the world about you so that they might have their sins forgiven and believe in you too. Amen.
Our anthem, Softly and Tenderly, is by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir led by Becky Snyder.
Thank you.
our first and second scripture readings are read by Bob Berger, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, A Ghost? No, it's the Risen Lord, awesome, by our pastor Gene Maul.
First reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by your own power or piety we had made him walk, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, our faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, at times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Second reading is from John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are children, or God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, and he is righteous."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened his minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was an interesting article in the newspaper a few years back. It was about a Henry J. And some of you may remember a Henry J was a compact car that dates back to the 1950s. Perhaps a few of you may have seen them or had one. This one only had 29,000 miles on it. And one year they had only put on 5 miles between inspections. But the owner was looking for a place where he could get his 30,000 mile checkup, and there just didn't seem to be any left anymore. I can remember these cars. They were not necessarily all that sturdy. At least Howie's was not. He was in high school when I was there. And one day he drove home and a wheel fell off and rolled down the road. So Howie just picked up the wheel and tossed it in the car and drove home on the brake drum. Well, the car made it okay. But we are not supposed to see a Henry J. alive today, especially with 29,000 miles. And we might even say, can I believe what I am seeing? Well, the disciples felt about that way in our gospel for today. They had been told by 2 followers of Jesus that they had seen the Lord as they walked to Emmaus, and Jesus joined them on the road, and he stopped and broke bread with them, and they recognized him. And they hurried to tell the disciples about it. And while they was telling this, Jesus suddenly stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Well, how do you react? With joy or rejoicing? They were terrified. They thought they had seen a ghost. Here was someone who was just not supposed to be there. So Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. He did not come knocking at the door, although he said he would be raised. And there had been a report from these women of the empty tomb, and then the report of the 2 from Emmaus, as we said. There was one of Peter, and they were not prepared to have Jesus just appear in their midst as they were talking with one another. Jesus has not given them any warning that he would show up right there at that place. I mean, ask yourselves, I mean, though we have been through centuries of talking about this Christ's resurrection, how would you react if he suddenly physically would walk in on us today? I mean, we talk about his presence in the Word of God and in his sacrament, but physically here, I'm not sure how we would react. You know, so Jesus tries to assure them and set their minds at ease. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch me. Feel me. I mean, that's quite a show and tell indeed. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. And they were filled with joy, but also wonder, is this too good to be true? Can I believe what I am seeing or not? And so he takes it a little farther to convince them. He says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they brought to him some broiled fish, and he took it and he ate in their presence. Now they are starting to get convinced that this is not a ghost. It's the Lord of life. And the newspaper headline might read, "Dead man eats fish" here at this time. And then, just like when those 2 walked to Emmaus, he shared the scriptures again and how he had fulfilled them and that he must suffer and die and rise in 3 days. And so it says he opened their minds, finally getting this all together. It was sort of helping them move from doubt to belief to fulfillment. It was a brush-up course on his life, his death, and now his resurrection. But then comes the next step. The end result of all of this business with the resurrection and his life leads to repentance and forgiveness of sins. People can believe that Jesus lived and suffered and died and was raised without experiencing that forgiving and freeing power for their lives. See, and the church is a place that helps to point that out. That it must say that this is a place of forgiveness. I'm pleased when people say to me that they could leave a service with a good feeling, but I hope that it's more than just an emotional high. I hope that it comes with a feeling of an inner cleansing. You leave here not just feeling good, but feeling actually forgiven and cleansed again. You walk out of here as reborn and resurrected children of God. Excuse me. And I hope that it can be said of us that we are forgiving people here in California. Then another step and a challenge. You are witnesses to these things. This he says to the disciples, but he really also says that to us. This is not a command telling us what to do so much as a statement about who we are, that we are witnesses to these things. You may be good witnesses or bad witnesses, but you are witnesses. To what are we witnessing? Well, the ongoing plan of God as he revealed it in the scriptures, carried out by John and Jesus and Peter and others. Namely, that the Messiah was resurrected from the dead after 3 days, and he proclaimed this repentance that leads to forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. So in order to be effective witnesses, then we also need to allow that experience to be a part of our lives as well. So we hope that this comes, and not just in Luke and in Acts and things like that, but that it says it begins in Jerusalem and then it goes to other places where we are at in our lives today. So we hope with a boldness like Peter we can do as in that first reading for today, that we can be like him and carry out and share this with the people where they are at. Jesus may not appear in our midst and eat broiled fish, but his presence is tangible in the places we are at in life. Perhaps in our community centers and soup kitchens, and might be around the kitchen table and the altar table. We see him in the breaking of bread. And as in the first century now, we have convincing proof indeed that he is risen from the dead. The uniqueness of Easter message is that it invariably touches the lives of those who find themselves touched by it. And that we see this in their lives and we also receive it for ourselves. So we say today that there's some pretty awesome things happening in this resurrection appearance today. First, he came to the people, and that was awesome, that tell them he was alive. And secondly, he showed them that he fulfilled the scriptures, and that's awesome. It shows that his death was not a defeat, not a mistake, but a resurrection victory. And thirdly, he says there's a message of forgiveness for you and for me. And that's pretty awesome when you think about it. And fourthly, he said that we can share this as his witnesses. And boy, that's an awesome task indeed. See, the Easter story is too good to be true, but it's too good not to tell. Not to tell. Don't keep it a secret. Awesome, isn't it? So go and tell what you have seen and heard and live out your life as a child of God. And this can come in various settings and ways in our lives. You never know when. I have a story here that I wanted to use that's called Blooming, a story of one who let her life be a witness as a child of God. It goes like this. This lady was receiving a call, and she says, you know how 3 weeks ago I asked you to speak about your trip to Mexico at our luncheon? Well, could you talk about flowers instead? Well, it was only 24 hours before she had to speak at this mother-daughter banquet. I cringed, she said. I knew nothing about flowers. My meditation time with God tripled that morning. I cried out to God, what can I say about flowers, for heaven's sake? And how could the topic be changed at the last minute? I had wanted to be inspirational and knowledgeable when I spoke, and I was looking forward to speaking about my favorite subject, and that was Mexico. My favorite place on the planet. And now I had to speak about flowers. There had to be a reason. Well, God was more than gracious. During my quiet time that morning, I remembered the beautiful orchids growing in the wilds and the jungles. And I recalled walking to my preaching assignment in Guatemala in the jungle and seeing these breathtaking visions of the most exquisite flowers you can imagine. I'd have to sneak that into my talk. And then I recalled the words that my mother had told me umpteen times when I was young. Blossom into a beautiful flower, no matter where you are, no matter who you are with, and no matter what the situation. An extended version of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's famous bloom where you are planted sentiment. I would make my speech around this point. Well, my Bible reading was about trusting God and being a child of God. A topic of flowers had reduced me to a fearful child. And now the answer lay in Scripture. God must be wanting to talk through me, I decided. Well, I ventured out with my six-year-old daughter, and I found the church in a small town about 50 miles away. I walked in, and the people welcomed us warmly. The hall was decorated beautifully. The tables were set. Several ladies had poems and readings about flowers. And the meal was delicious. The men served it for these ladies. Dessert came, and suddenly her stomach was in her knees because she said, "My time is almost here. Would I stumble over my words? Would I make sense? What was my point anyhow? And where is my cheat sheet on my index card?" Well, I was introduced, and I smiled, and I sat silently, and asked the Holy Spirit to use my mouth as a vessel, a witness. I knew I was not really there to talk about flowers. I was suddenly excited to have the mystery revealed to me. I shared about the Mexican orchids and told funny stories about what happened to me as a missionary, and the audience was enthusiastic. And I shared about moving to a new place where I was a fish out of water, and I saw understanding nods. And I shared the theme my mother said, where she said, had planted in my brain. And though I would somehow bloom no matter where I was, and I saw several women smiling, and there was one young woman who was crying. Seeing that, I started to cry, just a little cry, but no one could miss it, and I stopped. I had to get a hold of myself. I always seem to do this when I talk about my mother. It's not that she's bad, but it's just that I missed her terribly. That was the wrong thing to say. Another cry came out of my well-trained, experienced mouth. I could not believe it. It was against the rules of speech etiquette. Well, this was probably going to be my last speech anyhow. I got a hold of myself and continued. Her motto lifted me up many times during those first years here. I shared about the tulips, and we discovered when the snow finally started to melt and how I looked at them as a sign of hope, a sign that God was with me, a sign of resurrection. And the speech went very well after all, and I finished to enthusiastic women on their feet applauding. Maybe my speaking career was not over. I sat down and I said 100 prayers of thanksgiving, and then I felt a tug on the arm. I needed to hear what you said tonight. Thank you very much. This young woman, who earlier had tears in her eyes, shared with me about the moving here from a metropolitan area a few months ago to be near her fiancé. And although she loved him dearly, she could not decide if she would be able to live in such a small rural community so far from home. That morning, she had told her fiancé that she would have to think about it. And she felt she received her answer from my message of hope. I hugged her and held her hand, and I told her I was not to be thanked and that I had nothing to do with this. I shared about the change of topic and the strange turn of events, and we smiled as we considered that she was probably the reason why. "The Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways," she said, "and a great and wondrous will, those whose mysteries to be opened to them." So we are witnesses in surprising ways in our lives. Just bloom where you are. Bloom where you are. And that is what it can mean to be an awesome witness. Amen.